All. Thank you, Jeff, for holding the fort for the first half. Excellent. 2 weeks, so yeah. So be afraid, be very afraid. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word given to us in the Bible. Lord, I pray that you would help us to read it, to understand it, to take it to our hearts. Lord, that the words that I speak would be words that are from you, and that the things that we take away from this will be the things that you want us to take away. Amen. Yeah, I'd love to take all the credit for John's verse of scripture that you picked out last week, but he just picked it out, and it's from scripture. So it's all God, and I just try not to get in the way. I think that's how it works, really. Anyhow, I am sure that not one of you can have missed the fact that yesterday marked the 50th anniversary of perhaps the most extraordinary achievement in all of human endeavour ever. Man first set foot on the moon. It was an event which gripped the whole world. I wasn't there. Not on the moon. I wasn't even on the Earth at this stage. But I'm guessing that some of you may have seen it or watched it. When it happened. Yeah. What was it like to be there and see it all happening and hear about it? Unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah, I suppose so. And you hear stories that whole families going outside the door to stare at the moon and think about the incredible fact that somebody might be, or somebody was, walking on it at that very moment. Human beings developed the technology and understood the maths and the physics necessary to send people, living people, out of the Earth's atmosphere across a 252,000-mile gap to land carefully on a planet, take off again, and arrive back home in one piece. Maybe as much as anything else, it's the safe arrival home, which is the most astonishing thing. It's like, hitting the bullseye twice in a row. And the astronauts themselves were struck by the beauty and the wonder of their mission. And I don't know, like me, I have now seen the moon landing because it's all been on the telly box and over the last week, hasn't it? And it was just interesting to see Buzz Aldrin there in the space capsule taking communion, underscoring the fact that he was humbled to be given such an extraordinary opportunity to be part of the Apollo 11 mission. However, my sense is that the moon landings were also a turning point in our culture. And I think that they were a turning point in our culture away from God. I think that particularly in our Western society, there has been a developing arrogance, a bit of a swagger that human beings can achieve such an extraordinary feat, that human beings are perhaps masters of their own destiny, and that any sense of needing God has become a sign of weakness and something that's old-fashioned and we need to get over ourselves and move on. And I think that such a way of thinking was compounded by the myth that the first person in space, Yuri Gagarin, he was the Russian bloke, he famously is supposed to have said, "I don't see any God up here." But actually, it turns out that he didn't. From what I can find, no words such appear on the transcript of the record of Gagarin's conversations with Earth-based stations. And indeed, in 2006, a friend of Gagarin called Colonel Petrov stated that Gagarin never said such words, and that the phrase originated from a speech a couple of weeks later by Nikita Khrushchev, where they were discussing anti-religious propaganda in Russia. Interesting, isn't it? Fake news was around even in the 1960s. Another viewpoint from space comes from another astronaut, John Glenn, who died a couple of years ago in 2016 at the age of 95. He was an American hero, the most accomplished astronaut in history, and also a man of deep faith. To look out at this kind of creation and not believe in God is to me impossible, Glenn told reporters in 1988, having just returned from his final trip to space at the age of 77. All this just strengthens my faith. But the spirit of our age seems to be to crown the efforts of human achievement above obeying the teachings of Jesus. We have hailed ourselves as the greatest beings in the universe, and Western capitalist culture says that by human hands, all the ills of our time and space can be healed. And I think as a church, we need to be concerned at the diminishing seriousness with which our politicians in the West are taking the scriptures. And I think we also need to be very concerned as to their motives for taking power. We need to pray for them. We need to hold them account for their actions. And heaven knows, it looks like we're just about to have a new prime minister crowned in our country too. We are the church. We understand, we have heard, we acknowledge the word of God. We cannot allow God to be taken out of the equation and his love to lose its power and its authority and its meaning in our increasingly secular country. Scientists can only get us so far. What science can't do are the important things. Scientists may be able to do research, incredible research that one day may reverse the effects of cancer and dementia. But they haven't yet found a cure for greed or a solution for loneliness. We may have the technology that could put men into space, put all of human knowledge accessible on a small little device that you could put in your pocket. But still, thousands die of hunger and live without fresh water every day. We may be able to make weapons of extraordinary power and accuracy, but we don't yet have the technology to mend a broken relationship. We can't stop war happening. Technology companies may be able to create amazing devices that can help us do extraordinary things and make for themselves unbelievable profits in the process. But they cannot make themselves kind or generous. The gospel teaches us that the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Yeah, we live in an astonishing world where science has given us so much, where technology has brought massive advancement, and where we read in the news that mental health issues amongst primary age children has never been higher, where more people in Scotland die of drug misuse than anywhere else on our planet, where food banks have never been any more in demand, where the priorities of our leaders seem no longer to be the priorities of Jesus. In the reading that we had today, whether or not people believe in God is irrelevant. In this passage, God is not asking for our permission to come and judge the world. because he does not have to, because he is God. But he has given us fair warning that he will. It is up to us to take notice. There is only one person who ever has seen what lies on the other side of death, and he is the one who says these words. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all of the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people, one from another, as the shepherd separates sheep from goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And the story concludes. Goats will go away to eternal punishment, but the sheep, the righteous, to eternal life. These words are difficult to tell. To warn people of coming judgment has for many years now seemed like something just crazy people do. Why am I buzzing so much? Is it? Can you turn me down, or shall I just hold myself closer? Is that going to be better? Yes, because I've used it as a thingy, haven't I? Science is supposed to have brought all the solutions to problems. The age brings more, doesn't it? Anyhow, Jesus isn't crazy. I don't see Jesus being crazy as he says. I see him being deadly serious as he says these words. And I just wonder in our world if things might be changing a little bit. I just wonder if now human beings are starting to lose a little bit of their arrogance. Maybe I see a glimmer of hope. And maybe it's something of the images in Blue Planet 2, for instance, broadcast around the world, which are becoming the antidote to the moon landing image of 50 years ago. Yes, humans may be able to do clever, to do brilliant things, but are the clever and brilliant things having the side effect of destroying this most special and beautiful of worlds? Because only now do we understand that throwing millions of tons of plastic into the sea and pumping millions of tons of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere may be irreversibly changing the planet that we depend upon to survive. The next generation, the ones who've just gone across the road, I think they're wondering, is it enough to find science to fix what science has broken? Maybe we need something else. Maybe we need to have a greater understanding of who human beings are. How did one species of carbon-based life form come to possess such power in such a short space of time? Are we more than just an accident of nature? Science cannot answer such questions. The only way we will know the answer is if God somehow comes down to earth and reveals himself to us. And in Jesus, that's exactly what he does. The truth that we find in the Bible is there is no scientific cure for the human heart condition. It will always lead to death, and, if left unchecked, lead to the end of humanity. There is no cure for death. The condition of the human heart is unsolvable by science. Death is what awaits. Woohoo! But it is woohoo because the Bible makes it very clear that it is possible not to be cured, but to be rescued. We cannot rescue ourselves. We cannot do it. No matter how science evolves, we cannot do it because this is something beyond space, beyond time, beyond science. But a rescue is possible. And the name of the rescuer is Jesus. The human heart, the human soul is chronically and fatally flawed. Death and destruction is actually all that we're capable of. And yet the scripture teaches that we can be given a new kind of heart, a heart of flesh rather than of stone, a heart of compassion where love has the victory and death cannot overcome it. And when we accept this heart of love, then our priorities change. We cease to be interested in becoming more and more powerful, or accumulating more and more wealth, or just looking for more and more scientific discovery. But instead, we become increasingly sensitive to the needs of those around us. We become people who have a heart for the poor, for the hungry, for the marginalized, for the dispossessed. It is true that we can only be saved by faith and not by doing stuff. But we can only be saved by letting Jesus in to come and cure our hearts. He alone is the one who turns our priorities towards others and away from ourselves. He turns us towards the need and helping the poor and the weak, and the prisoner, and the homeless, and the thirsty, and the hungry. And in this way shall our souls be saved. Shall our bodies be saved. Shall our whole world be saved and recreated into something that Jesus calls the kingdom of heaven, where the Son of Man will rule in glory, and all the angels with him, and with all his sheep, who acknowledge him as Saviour and Lord. Can I give you a challenge this week? Can I challenge you to take seriously the offer made by Jesus? The offer perhaps more fully fleshed out in the Christianity Explored course that is going to start in September. Now is the time to be thinking about whether you're coming. Now is the time to be thinking and praying for who the person may be that you want to invite along to this. Who is it that you long to see come into relationship with God in a powerful and life-changing way? 8 Thursday evenings. Is it too much to ask to change the life and the hope and the belief and the eternal destiny of another human being? And having been transformed in the understanding of who we are and what we're created for, well, let us live it out. Let us live it out with the compassion and the love and the service that a needing and hurting world so need very much indeed. Yes, we human beings are special. We're amazing. We're clever. We're smart. We are, after all, made in the image of God. We have much to affirm. We still, all of us, have much to learn from the one who created the earth and the moon and the stars and who holds us in great, great affection. Let us give him the thanks and the glory and the praise that is due to him alone. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, you are amazing, and we thank you that we have been able to gather here today again to sing your praises, to acknowledge your greatness, to acknowledge that we are lost and hopeless and helpless without you. And yet your desire is that we come home to you and you embrace us in your arms. We thank you, Lord, that that is the truth and that is the experience of so many of us here in this room. Lord, would you just help us to open our eyes and open our hearts again to remember what it was like before we knew you. What it was like when we thought that science was all there was, maybe, and saw that it didn't give the answers we needed. Lord, we thank you that you have created us with such incredible that we can comprehend to a certain extent something of who and use these incredible gifts that you have given to us to be your people in our world. Lord, in the great hugeness and vastness of the universe, in the great hugeness and vastness of time, we are but a tiny, tiny, tiny pinprick, and yet pick up to bring salvation, to bring that message of Jesus to the world. May we just see afresh what a wonderful and privileged and amazing place we find ourselves in. May we not squander it, but may we use every ounce of this short life to bring you glory and to bring others into a living faith with you. Yeah, do you want to put up the last slide? It's just a quote, just to have a quick read of it and just see, actually, are these the priorities in your life? Is this what your life is heading to? And let God's Holy Spirit speak to you today. Our little worship team is going to come and round us off with a